You're listening to a WebYeshiva.org podcast. Visit www.webyeshiva.org to take part in our fully interactive online yeshiva. Visit blog.webyeshiva.org for more free downloadable Torah content.
Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Tehillim podcast. This week we're going to look at Tehillim Tzadibet, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat, one of the more famous of the Mizmorei Tehillim. Tov lehodot laHashem ulezamer leshimcha elyon lahagid baboker chastecha veemunatcha balelot alei asor vealei navel alei higayon bechinor ki simachtani Hashem befoalecha b'maase yadecha aranin. The Mizmor starts with the proclamation, it is good, right? And Dat Mikra explains, ra'ui v'nachon, it is the right thing to do, lehodot laHashem, right? Lehodot, to thank, but also to praise, to acknowledge Hashem, right? And this is seen in the second half of the pasuk, ulezamer leshimcha elyon, right? It's not merely to thank, although there's certainly that element, but to sing out in praise of Hashem, in His lofty name, to His lofty name, right? To do it all the time, baboker, balelot, right, in all sorts of ways, alei asor va'alei navel alei higayon bechinor. Pasuk hey, ki simachtani Hashem befoalecha b'maasei yadecha aranin. Right, what is causing this reaction on the part of the Mishorer? Right, the because he rejoices befoalecha. Right, he rejoices because of the deeds, the things which Hashem does, right? B'maasei yadecha aranin, right? At the works of your hands, I will sing out in joy, right? Many people think, if I'm not mistakenly, that they think mistakenly that what is being sung about here are the physical maasei yadei Hashem. Right, looking out at the world, and certainly there are many Mizmorei Tehillim, some of which we have looked at together, which do this. Right, looking out at the world, seeing the creations of Hashem, and singing about those, being awed and full of joy because of them. In this Mizmor, we'll see that this is not what the Mishorer is speaking about. Here, the Mishorer is talking about not the physical, tangible Maaseh de Hashem, but rather those things which Hashem does in the world. Right? And we'll see in a moment what is being spoken about here exactly. Pasuk Vav. Magadlu Maasecha Hashem, Ma'od Amku Machshevotecha. Right, this is a continuation of Pasuk Hei, right? B'maaseh yadecha aranin, right? I will sing out in joy about Maaseh yadecha. And here, this is the song of joy. Magadlu Maasecha Hashem. How great are your deeds, are your works, Hashem. Ma'od amku machshevotecha. Right? Your thoughts, so to speak, your ways of doing things, right, are very, very amok. Meaning they are not, their meaning, their significance is not simple. Right? There's great depths to them. Right. In these words, right, we see a continuation of the breadth of what the Mishorer is trying to describe. Right. At first he says right, that he wants to sing Baboker Ubalaila. Right? And here, right, day and night. And here we're seeing that he wants to that Maaseh Hashem are Gdolim. Right, they are great, right? Images of height and grandeur. Ma'od amku machshavotecha. And at the same time, together with the greatness, right, the bigness, right, they're very amok, right? They're very deep, right? Deepness, like an emek, is something which is low down, right? But in here, not in the sense of being lowly, but in the sense of being very very intricate, very deep. Literally and figuratively, right? So again, seeing the expanse of the wonder and the greatness of Hashem's deeds. Pasuk Zayin expands our understanding of what where the Mishorer is going here, right? Great are Hashem's deeds. But ish ba'ar lo yeda, uchsi lo yevin etzot. Right? Somebody who is a fool, right? Somebody who is a fool, ba'ar, a ba'ar, chsil, right? Won't understand this, right? Someone who is a fool is going to see the goings on in the world and not understand the greatness and the depths of these things. Pasukhet. Bifroch rishaim kamo ese vayatzitzu kol poleaven. Po'ale aven, li shamdam adead, ve'ata marom le'olam Hashem, ki hine oyvecha Hashem, ki hine oyvecha yovedu, v'yitpardu kol po'ale aven. The Meshorer here describes what he has been talking about up until now. What are these great ma'aseh Hashem? Right? What are the things that the Meshorer is saying? On the surface of it, they could be understood in one way. But when understood correctly, properly, that there's a great depth that not everybody perceives. Right? Bifroch rishaim kamo esev. Right? You look around in the world and you see rishaim, who flower, who sprout, kamo esev, right? Like grass, like things which grow easily in the field. Vayatzitzu kol po'alei aven. Yatzitz, from this, also like lifroach, kol po'alei aven, that those who do bad things, right, they sprout up, they flower. Right? So you look at this, the Mishorer is saying, and it's not clear what's happening, right? A person without understanding will look at this and think, this is the way of Hashem, right? That the Rishaim are those who flourish, who sprout out, who flower. But lishamdam adead, right? What they don't understand is that this flowering, this sprouting out, only leads to their destruction, right? Their eternal destruction, meaning that the flowering, the sprouting of these rishaim, of these evil people, right, is just for a moment, right? But ultimately, they will be destroyed. Right? This is not something that is going to last, right? Professor Yehuda Felix, Zichrono Levracha, who was an expert on, you know, chai v'tzomeach, you know, plants and animals, fauna and flora, in the Tanakh and the Talmud, right? He explains this in a way that brings it to life somewhat, right? He says often you in the spring when the rains begin. Sorry, in the spring when the warm weather comes and after the rainy season, which, you know, generally happens in the winter, unfortunately not so much this year, and all the flowers begin to spread out. So first you have the general green, right, the kmo esev. And then, right, vayatzitzu kol po'alei aven. After that you have all of the wildflowers which sprout, which flower in the spring here in Israel, right? Like the kalaniot and all of those types of the nuriot and all those flowers which come out in the spring, right? And this grass and these flowers that come out, they're miraculous almost, right? You've had this winter and everything's kind of like, you know, dead and not so nice in the winter, but then suddenly, perhaps I should be more accurate. It's not even so much in the spring. These flowers are flowers that actually come out with the winter rains. You have after the summer when everything is so dry, and then all of a sudden you have the rain, and the grass suddenly sprouts, and these flowers suddenly come up, and it's beautiful, and everybody runs out on their tulim to see them. But everybody knows that these beautiful things that have sprouted up with these rains, as soon as the days get drier, and as soon as there isn't the rain to keep them going, they're gone. Right? A few days of dryness and that grass no longer exists. Right? The wildflowers are here for a short, beautiful while, but then they are gone. And that is what is being described here. Right? They come up suddenly. Right? They spring up, and they are brilliant in their colors and in their beauty. Right, not to say that the Rishaim are beautiful, but that's what you're seeing here. That's what the person looking at them will see, right? But they don't last, right? They're not here for a very long time. They're not strong. They ultimately don't withstand the drier weather that comes up. Pasuk Tet, Ve'ata Marom Le'olam Hashem, right? And you, Hashem, you are above all, right? You, despite the fact that these Rishaim pop up, ultimately you are in control, you are the one in control above everything. Right? These Rishaim that sprout up, they will be no more. Right? Because ki atam marom, right? Because you are above everything. Vatarem kireim karni beloti b'shemen ra'anan. Right, the Mishorer describes himself with the help of Hashem, his horn like a re'im, right, which is a strong animal. His horn is raised up. This is an image that is used in other places, including Tfilat Chana in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel Aleph, a sign of victory, right, the raising up of the horn. Biloti b'shemen ra'anan, right. Baloti, sorry, b'shemen ra'anan, right? He is anointed, or he spreads over himself shemen ra'anan, right? Fresh oil, right? Most likely olive oil. This is also a sign of victoriousness and celebration. Vatabet eini b'shurai b'kamim alai mira'im tishmano oznai. Right, this pasuk leaves out certain words, but it seems to mean vatabet eini b'shurai. My eyes see my enemies. Right, fill in the blank being destroyed. B'kamim alai mira'im tishmano oznai. When the evil ones, those who are against me come up against me, my ears hear of their downfall. Right, the pasuk is not full, but this is how the majority of the commentaries understand the pasuk. Right, so the Mishorer is celebrating the fact that these rishaim who come up against him, ultimately they are destroyed, and he is the one who is strong. He is the one who comes out on top. Tzadik katamar yifrach ke'erez balvanon yiske, shetulim bevet Hashem, bechatzrot Eloheinu yafrichu, od yinevun b'seva d'shenim v'ra'ananim yihiyu. Right? As opposed to the Rishaim, who are like the grass, the flowers that pop up so easily, but then very quickly die off, the tzadik is compared to trees. Right? A tzaddik katamar yifrach. A tzaddik will be like a tamar, like a dekel, like a palm tree, a day tree. Ke'erez balvanon iske, right? It will grow. It will spread out its branches like the erez halevanon, right? The cedar of Lebanon, right? These are two very strong, withstanding trees. Shetulim bevet Hashem bechatzrot Eloheinu yafrichu. Right, planted in the house of Hashem, they will flower, they will flourish, will grow in the chatzerot, in the yards, in the court of Hashem, meaning of the Beit HaMikdash. Od yinivun b'seva, they will still give off fruit even when they are of many years, when they are old. Dishenim v'ra'ananim yihyu. They will continue to be dishenim, like full of fats, of oils, v'ra'ananim, fresh, right? These trees will remain. So in contrast to the esev, right, which is so quickly goes, these trees are strong. They stay. They even in their old age, they will give off fruit. The Gemara in Masechet Ta'anit, among other sources which have parallel midrashim, explains the symbolism of the tamar and the erez halevanon. Darash Rabbi Chia bar Luliani, Mai dichtiv tzadik katamar yifrach ke'erez balvanon yiske? Im ne'emar tamar, lama ne'emar erez? Ve'im ne'emar erez, lama ne'emar tamar? Right, why do you need both? He asks. Right, why a tamar and an erez? Ilu ne'emar tamar, velo ne'emar erez, hayiti omer, ma tamar ein gizo machalif, af tzadik chas v'chalila ein gizo machalif, l'chach ne'emar erez. Right? So the first statement is, because if it had just said Tamar, but it didn't say Erez, then one might think, well, a Tamar, which is a tree, which if the dekel of the Tamar gets cut off, it doesn't grow a new one, right? You might think that a tzaddik, chas v'chalila, it would be the same way, right? Ein gizom v'chalif, and therefore it says also erez, right? What is this midrash saying? You have an etz tamar, right? And clearly an etz tamar, right? What is the beauty of an etz tamar? It's tall, it's lofty, higher than the other trees. It gives off fruit, right? We'll see more on that point in a moment. It gives off fruit, right? But the midrash points out it does have this one problem. What is this one problem? That if the top of the tree gets cut off, right? And interestingly, in Sefer Iyov, there's another pasuk, kind of like the flip side of what we're looking at here, which talks about a rasha. And there, in the book of Iyov, the rasha is compared to a tamar, right, whose head has been cut off, right? And this is a phenomenon in nature that sometimes old palm trees, right, they're more at risk because they're drier, I suppose, to that in the wind or for some reason to have the leaves fall off. And if that happens, right, they remain headless, right? Apparently there are examples of this, I imagine, in many places, but particularly in near Akko, apparently there are some famous trees like this, right? Headless date trees, right? So in Iyov, that's the description of the Rasha Dafka, right? That they are the headless Dekel. Here we have, you could say that we have the opposite, right? Here the image that we are seeing isn't the headless Tamar, but rather the one that has the head, keeps its crown, right? Which remains fruitful. But the Gemara that we just looked at worries, but you know, if you're going to compare the tzaddik to the tamar, there is the potential for this to happen, right? So then the Midrash says, well, that's why we have the Erez, right? Ilu ne'emar, and the Midrash continues, Ilu ne'emar Erez velo ne'emar tamar, hayitzi yomer, ma Erez ein ose perot, af tzaddik chas v'chalila ein ose perot. Right? So why not then just have the Erez? So then the Midrash says, well, the Erez doesn't give off fruit. So could you say, God forbid, that a tzaddik does not give forth fruit, right? And that's why you have tamar, right? You need both of them, the Midrash is saying, because each of them fills in the qualities of the other. Professor Yehuda Felix also points out that physically, right, the trees kind of complement each other, right? I don't know how well you have the images of these trees in your mind. If not, I'm sure a quick Google can help you out with this. Tamar is a very vertical tree, right? Very tall. Its leaves are completely on the top, right? It is always thought of as the tree that towers over the other ones, right? The Erez, on the other hand, right, the cedar, is a rather horizontal tree. It's also a very tall tree, right? And clearly because of that, it's also, the tzaddik is also being compared to it. But the branches kind of spread out in a horizontal fashion. So it kind of fills in the other direction, right? So you have, so visually also you have trees that complement each other. These complementary qualities can also be seen in the following psukim. Shetulim v'veit Hashem v'chatzrot Eloheinu yafichu od yinevun v'seva adashenim v'rananim yihiyu. Right? The different qualities described here point to the different trees, right? First of all, you have Shetulim v'veit Hashem v'chatzrot Eloheinu yafichu. These, I suppose, could be talking about any trees that are planted in the ground. You could possibly say that the idea, I mean, all trees are planted, right, shetulim, but you could say that the erez, which has like particularly strong roots, right, that it refers to that quality, right, bechatzot alahinu yafrichu, right, according to some, lifroach, when it comes to a tree, talks to specifically the livluv of like you have with a palm tree, right? The sprouting out of the trees in the manner of the palm tree. Od yinevun b'seva, right? It will give off fruit even when it's old, right? That would be more matim, that more appropriate for the date tree, for the palm tree, which gives off fruit, right? Dishenim v'ra'ananim yihyu, right? This is the erez, which is a very strong tree. It's an evergreen tree. I mean, I suppose the date tree is also evergreen. It doesn't lose its leaves in the winter, but the erez is of that type of tree, right? The coniferous variety of tree, which is, you know, which is evergreen, which is fresh throughout the year. Professor Yehuda Felix also has an interesting insight on these psukim. He kind of restructures how to read the Mizmor in a manner which I don't have time to do in the context of this podcast. Those who are interested could look in his book, Teva Ve'eretz B'Tanach. He has an interesting way of looking at the Mizmor. But what he suggests is that hidden in these psukim, we have a third kind of tree. Right? First we have the tamar, and we have the erez, and then we have another kind of tree. Right? He says, Shitulim b'beit Hashem b'chatzrot Eloheinu yafrichu. Right? Of course, this could be referring to any tree. Right? We have a mashal and nimshal kind of being mixed up here, right? Where you have the tzaddik being compared to a tamar and an erez, and they are being planted b'vet Hashem, right? What is being planted? Well, shtulim clearly is referring to trees, but it could be more than nimshal, right? The tzaddik who is planted in Beit Hashem, right? Always in the outskirts of God's house, right? As is matim for a tzaddik, and not literally the trees that are being planted here. Yehuda Felix, who, as I said, he's the, you know, the expert on plants, he's bothered by this. He says that the mashal doesn't work. Now we know that mishalim are not always exact, right? There are many examples of mishalim both in Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebalpeh, which aren't parallel in every aspect. But I suppose, you know, the mishalim that we like best are the ones which do work the best. And he says that it doesn't make sense to say that a tamar and an erez would be shitulim b'vet Hashem. Why? Because those are dafka two types of trees which wouldn't be found in the area of Beit Hashem. Now, the truth is, right, as some of you might know, there weren't any trees planted in the Beit HaMikdash, or certainly not in the... I think the actual prohibition was to plant it near the Mizbeach, right? And yet, he says the following. He says that the Erez HaLevanon, right, is a tree which by definition, right, is not a tree of Eretz Yisrael, right, which is why when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beit HaMikdash, he had to get these trees from Melech Tzor to bring them down to build the Mikdash. It's just simply a tree that does not grow in this area. And even a tamar, which, as we well know, does grow in Eretz Yisrael, although you might find some tamarim, some dekalim in the area of Yerushalayim, that is not the area famous for the growth of dekalim, right? In the Gemara, it mentions specifically that the tamar, the dekel, is a siman of an emek, right? The best date trees, right, will be found in the valleys, right? And this is true to this day, right, where you will see date trees, groves and, you know, and groves of them in Emek HaYarden, in Emek Beit She'an, right? That's where you find much of the date trees in this country. And they even say that the date trees that would grow in the hills weren't quality date trees, and you wouldn't be bringing fruit from those trees to the Beit HaMikdash, right? So it's not mati'im, Professor Felix said, that that such a tree would be shatul b'Beit HaMikdash. Likewise, the Erez HaLevanon, which is also not indigenous to this country. Right, so he prefers to see it differently. He says, "Shetulim b'Beit Hashem b'chatzrot Eloheinu yafrichu," that this refers to the zayit. Right, he says that the etz hazayit is hidden in these psukim, and that the next pasuk is also matim for them. Od yinevun b'seva, they give off fruit, even in its old age, right? And this is, as is well known, is known about the zayit. Right, there are ancient olive trees that still give off still give off aleph. Deshenim ve'ra'ananim yihiyu, right? The Zayit is also known for being ra'anan, right? That term, Zayit ra'anan, appears elsewhere in Tanakh. And deshenim, right, full of oil, right, that is also, right, most appropriate for the Zayit, right, the tree that gives off oil. So he suggests that what you have here really are three trees, right? You have the tzaddik, who's like the tamar, right, who's tall and lofty, right, and also gives off fruit. And you have the erez with the deep roots, and its growth spreads out, right? Its branches spread out, right? And it is also, you know, a tree which is evergreen, etc. But then you have the zayit, right, which is shatul bevet Hashem, and this is the tree which combines all of these qualities, right? Which gives off fruit to an old age, and also is very, it remains fresh and is also, you know, deeply planted. He connects this to the pasuk. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, where it says Baloti b'shemen ra'anan, right? He has an interesting reading, somewhat difficult but interesting, where this is referring not to what is happening when fighting the enemies, but rather describing the situation, meaning that it's anointing of oil in celebration, but rather Baloti is like Biloti, like what Sarah says when she finds out she's going to have a child, Acharei Biloti haitali edna. Right? After I've become old, after I've become withered, Sarah says, I have edna, right? I am youthful again, right? I'm able to have a child. So here, in my old age, baloti or biloti, bishemin ra'anan, right? So it is if, or I am anointed with shemen ranan. I am yet fresh, and I am full of the shemen, right? Like the right, and this is similar to the description in pasuk tedvav, odinavun b'seva d'shenim v'ra'ananim yihiyu, right? B'shemen ra'anan, right? And the targum says shemen. Targum Yonatan says shemen zayit ra'anan, right? D'shenim v'ra'ananim yihiyu, right? They're also the tree that is fresh, that is full of the fat, right? So that what you have in making this connection is a connection, you know, between the description of the description of the tzaddik and what the Mishorer is saying, right? That I, in fighting off my enemies, right, it is as if in my old age I have remained ra'anan and shamen, right? Shamen in the sense of shemen, right? So that what is almost happening here is that you have this person who is fighting off his enemies, right? And when he succeeds, right, he suddenly has an understanding of the way that Hashem works, right? That he is the one who remains fresh, right? Like the olive tree, like the tamar, like the erez, right? He is the one who remains fresh, who withstands, right, the test of time, right, as opposed to his enemies who have long since withered and gone away, right? So there's this kind of self-realization that he is this thing, right, and that he is in this category of the tzaddik as opposed to the rasha who has been defeated. The last pasuk, right, brings everything all together, right? Just prior to the last pasuk, right, where you have the description of the trees, right, the ones who remain fresh, who give off fruit in their old age, who etc., who withstand. Lehagid ki yashar Hashem tsuri v'lo avlatavo, right? In order, right, that he, the tzaddik, can say that Hashem is yashar, Hashem is righteous, is straight, is correct, right? That the purpose, the outcome of the longevity of the tzaddik, right, the withstanding of the tzaddik, is that in the end he is the one who is there in order to proclaim the righteousness, the greatness of Hashem. Tzuri v'lo avlatavo, right? He has no avla in him. He has no nothing bad is in him, right? Nothing corrupt, right? And that brings us back to the beginning of the Mizmor. Right, Tov lahodot l'Hashem l'zamer l'shimcha elyon ra'oi v'nachon, right? It is the right thing to do, right? To sing out in praise of Hashem, right? V'yesh b'mashma, right? The perush I quoted at the beginning, simcha v'osher l'zocheh l'hodot l'Hashem, right? The mishorer who has experienced this himself, right? And then has understood the depth of the way of Hashem, right? That it's not always as it seems, right? In the end is the one who has withstood all of these difficulties and is the one who is left, right, to sing the praises of Hashem, right, the last pasuk. Wishing you all a Shabbat Shalom and Vorach, with hope that once again the understanding of the Mizmor enhances your tefillot. Shabbat Shalom and Vorach.